Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 1 and 7 through 14. Before we jump into the passage, New Testament scholar Richard Hayes has said that a great hindrance to understanding the gospel is our confusing of the gospel with common sense. Anytime we read a passage of scripture and we say to ourselves, "Yep, that's what I've always thought," "Well, sure, that makes sense to me," Hayes advises us to read the passage again. We have probably misunderstood. We have somehow reworked the good news of Jesus Christ into common sense. Common sense tends to be hackneyed, cliche, and uninteresting. That we call Jesus' message and the message about Jesus good news suggests that this isn't something you can get from TV. This isn't something you can wake up and have an epiphany and say, "Oh, yeah." Instead, we get up, we get dressed, we bring ourselves to church because this is the place where you can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. With that in mind, let us hear the good news from the Gospel of Luke. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. When Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone might more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come to you and say, "Hey, get out of that seat." Embarrassed, you will take your seat at the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit at the least important place. Then, when your host approaches you and invites you, "Friend, move up here to the better seat," you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Not wanting to leave the host out of this critique, then Jesus said to the person who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. God, we just sang, "Open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts." Indeed, may our hearts, our eyes, and our ears be opened to the gospel message that you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that this story might be legend, but pastors tell it often. There was a church in the Midwest, and it was a huge church. They probably got 10,000 people every service. It was a really happening church where every weekend there was always something special. And this weekend was even more special, you see. They had found a new pastor after a long and diligent search. They found a new pastor, and on this particular Sunday, they were going to announce this pastor. There was so many things happening. A homeless person happened to see this campus and walked into their sanctuary. Walked all the way to the front and sat in the front seat. And the ushers quickly ran up to him and said, "You know, this is for the new pastor and the new pastor's family. Let me show you to another seat," and promptly walked them to the last row in the sanctuary. There was a family sitting in that row, but seeing this homeless person who stunk and didn't look good, they got up and they walked over to another seat. The service started and they had their announcements, and they got into the point of the service when the elders came up front and they were going to announce their new pastor. And they were clapping and hollering. Well, it's church, so maybe they weren't hollering, just clapping. And from the back, this homeless person stood up as this new pastor was announced. And he walked all the way down the aisle, and he went up to the stage and stood in front of the microphone and welcomed the congregation as the new pastor. He talked about what he had experienced that morning with these words: "Today, in this building, I see a gathering of people, but not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough gatherings of people, but it doesn't have enough disciples." In our gospel reading today, Jesus gives us two examples of what discipleship looks like. In our first example, after noticing people vying for the best seats at a gathering, Jesus tells what is labeled as a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. I don't know about you, but if you've been to a wedding recently, everyone has a nameplate, and they stick it on the table, and you go around the tables, and you find your nameplate. If you're like me, and you realize, oh, my back is facing where all the action is, you take your nameplate, you go around to the other side of the table. Okay, I've only done that once. Now, in Jesus' time, they didn't have laser or inkjet printers, so they didn't have nameplates. All they had were these long tables, and if you got there first, you got to choose the seat that you wanted. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Why? Someone more important than you might show up, and the host is going to say, I'm really sorry to do this. Can you move? Because there's someone more important coming. And embarrassed, you go and you take your seat. Instead, if you sit in the lowest seat, the host can say, come here and sit where it is important. You know, our society has taught us to do whatever you can to get ahead. Isn't that right? If you can get a leg up on someone, take advantage of it. Society has taught us that there's a limited number of resources. So if you can have access to a resource, grab it, even if you don't need it. We are taught to work hard and to fight for everything. And man, that is exhausting. And thankfully, Jesus offers us an alternative. He says, all who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. This sounds familiar to another saying recorded in the Gospels. Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you must say no to yourselves, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Pastor Claire says she's preaching on this next week, so you're going to hear a lot more about this. What Jesus again says is, if you want to be my disciple, you have to do what? Deny yourself. In a world full of people doing whatever they can to get ahead, there is an alternative, the Church of Jesus Christ, a community of Christ's disciples. In the world, you might hear this phrase, unless you do X, Y, and Z, I'm taking my business elsewhere. Anybody do that before? In some churches, you might even hear them say, unless you put pews, when you rebuild that sanctuary, I'm not coming to church. In other churches, people might say, unless you act in this particular way, I won't be attending. But not in the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus' disciples don't say that. Jesus' disciples put others' needs above their own. That was the first example of what discipleship is like. And man, that one was a doozy, wasn't it? The second example, after addressing the guests, he looks at the host and he says, when you host a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they're going to pay you back. I was telling Pastor Claire, I didn't ask her permission, but it's not about her, so I think it's okay. I was telling her about this passage, and she said, you know, my mom would always say, yeah, we owe them a dinner, we owe them a dinner, we owe them a dinner, right? And how many of you have done that? When somebody invites you over to their house, you got to pay them back. Jesus says, don't do that. Instead, invite those who can't repay you back. What Jesus is talking about here is inclusion, including anyone labeled other. And you know what? Throughout history, the church has been excellent, not at including, but at excluding others. First, it was based on race. If you were a Gentile, you could not be a part of the church. And then in the New Testament, we see things open up, and now Gentiles can be part of the church. Then it was class. If you were a slave, you could not be a Christian. But again, even in the New Testament, we see where slaves became included and accepted as well. Later, it was gender. If you were female, you couldn't teach or have authority in the church. As we fast forward in time, it might be based on marital status. If you were divorced, you couldn't come to church. At least you couldn't be in leadership. And then today, maybe it's the hot button issue of our time. People are excluded based on sexuality, right? There's this group of people, and the label for this group is like, it keeps growing bigger and bigger. I'll get as many letters as I can. It's the LGBTQIA. It goes on and on and on. And the church has done a very good job, like they have in times past, excluding groups of people. And today, that's the group that seems to be excluded. And despite the history of the church who has excluded people, Jesus instead says that disciples openly welcome others. All others. I told a story this week to a number of folks, and it seems appropriate here. Over in Disney's California Adventure, they have this Soaring Over California ride. Anybody ride that? So you sit in this harness, right, and you're going to all these places, and you're looking around, and there's a screen in front of you. And when you go over the desert, they pump in hot air, and you feel like you guys do right now in the desert. And then when you go over up into the mountains where there's snow, they pump in cold air. When you go over by the ocean, they squirt water out of the ceiling and it hits you. When you go over the citrus fields, they pump in orange smell. So it's a fully immersive, multi-sensory experience. And Disney was discontent with it. They said, we're missing one sense, taste. So they developed this gobstopper. This gobstopper that, when you go over the cold, you get a peppermint taste, and it's cool and refreshing. When you go over the citrus, you can taste the citrus flavor. And some of you might be saying, hey, I've been on that ride. They don't have that gobstopper. And you're right. They've tried it, and it's failed. You want to know why it's failed? They realized everyone sucks at different levels. We all suck just at different levels. And you see, disciples understand this. Disciples understand that we all suck at different levels. They recognize that there's no value to pointing out the speck in someone else's eye and ignoring the log in your own. They understand that the church is not a museum of saints, but a hospital of sinners. And so when someone who is other, who is not like them, shows up, disciples openly embrace them. In the passage that Pastor Claire read from Jeremiah, there's such great imagery there. In the last verse, it says, my people have committed two crimes. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug wells, broken wells, that can't hold water. When God's people don't do what God says, they have forsaken God. Every time that the church excludes someone, every time that the church tells someone that they are not good enough, every time we point out the speck in someone else's eye, we become vessels that cannot hold water. We become void of the living water. Great imagery, right? Remember that if it's something you can get on your own, if it's something you can wake up and decide, yep, this is right, that is not the good news. The good news challenges us to move from where we are into a new place. If I were to stand in a Krispy Kreme shop, would that make me a donut? If you were to stand in a Chevy dealership, would that make you a Corvette? If you came to church, does that make you a disciple? No. Disciples do. They deny themselves and they openly embrace others. From now until November, we're going to be preaching on what disciples do, practical advice for the followers of Christ. You'll be getting stuff like this every week. You won't want to miss it. I think based on the time, I can talk about one more verse. It's verse 1 of chapter 14 in Luke, which says, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. People around us are watching us. Do they see a gathering of people, or do they see a community of Christ's disciples? I want to close with a story told by Tony Campolo, and it was in a growth group study that we did maybe a year and a half ago. It was 3:30 in the morning, and Tony found himself at a Greasy Spoon in Hawaii. He was on Philadelphia time, and so he found himself awake in Hawaii. And while he's in this Greasy Spoon, these 9 prostitutes walk in after doing their night's work. And he happens to overhear them talking. He overhears the one named Agnes saying, tomorrow is my birthday. And they ask her, what are you doing? And she goes, nothing. So those prostitutes left for the night, and Tony talked to the cook and he talked to the waitress, and he said, let's throw her a birthday party. So the next night when she came in, she found this Greasy Spoon filled with banners and cake and streamers. And when she came in, everyone yelled, happy birthday. And they sang to her. And Tony said, "Can I pray for you, Agnes?" And Tony prayed for her, and the cook came to Tony, and he said, "I didn't know you were a preacher. What church do you go to?" He says, "I go to a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning." And he said, "No, you don't. If a church like that existed, I would attend." The world around us is watching. Do they see just a group of people, or do they see a community of disciples? Disciples who deny themselves and who openly embrace others. What will they see when they see us? Let us pray. God, thank you for your word that challenges us, that invites us, that engages us to deny ourselves, to give up what we want in favor of others, that also invites us to openly embrace all who are not like us. Not only for today, but in the weeks, months, and years to come, help us to be disciples of Jesus and to do what he has called us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.